I'd like for you to take God's Word and go with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And I'd like to speak to you from this passage, a message that I introduced to you this past Lord's Day on the four pillars of Christian marriage. We have for a theme for the summer, Build Your Home. And we want to build on the right foundation. That foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He that heareth these words, he said, and doeth them. He said he should be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And we know that the storm came and the winds blew, but the house on the rock stood firm. And I'm praying that God will enable us in this hour to hear his voice and to obey him, so that our homes, our lives, may stand firm in these stormy, wicked days in which we live. And not only do you have to have the right foundation, but you have to have the right thing upholding the structure. And we find here in Ephesians chapter 5, the four pillars that God gives to us to hold up our house, to hold up our lives. And I want you to know, these pillars not only apply to your marriage and your home, but I believe they apply to every area of your Christian life. And so you may not be married here today, and you might wonder, well, is this for me? The answer is yes. All of God's Word is for us, and it can meet every need that we have. And so here we are in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm just going to read this morning two verses. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. The Bible said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." We're looking at these pillars, and the pillar that we're going to look at this morning is the pillar of communication. And so if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to do that, I want you to write that down as the title for today, the pillar of communication. And we want to talk about the communication that takes place in our marriage relationship and in our home, and really in all areas of our lives. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And these verses are given to us, and they deal in particular in the context of our home relationship, our marital relationship, our relationship as fathers and mothers to our children, our relationship as children to our parents. All of these things follow this command that is given to us in verse 18, that we are not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but we are to be filled with the Spirit. Because the secret to success in our marital relationships and in all relationships is to be filled with the Spirit. The secret to the Christian life is to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want you to know that when you became a Christian, if you are a Christian, and you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment that you did that, the Spirit of God came to dwell within you. That Spirit that departed Adam in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, that Spirit is re-imparted to man once he, by faith, acknowledges his sin, and confesses to the Lord Jesus that he's the Son of God who died for them, and they believe on the name of the Lord. In that moment, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within that person. And that's what Jesus meant by the expression he gave to Nicodemus when he said, "Ye must be born again." To be born again is to have a birth from above. It is a supernatural birth. It is a spiritual birth. And as believers, we are to constantly be filled with the Spirit. Now, here's what I want you to understand about that. It is not that I have to get more of the Spirit, because I got all of the Spirit that I needed, all of the Spirit that I'll ever get the moment I got saved. But to be filled with the Spirit means not that I seek more and more of God to pour more of His Spirit in me, but it is that I empty more and more of myself out of me, my carnal desires, my flesh, my bad attitudes, whatever it is that could hold me back, and I yield completely to the Spirit of God. That's how I stay filled with the Spirit. And by the way, you're never going to get to the place where you're going to get all of the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit and stay there. It is a moment-by-moment experience. It is a moment-by-moment walk where you and I must consciously choose to yield, to submit to the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to have control in our lives. Now, the question we find here in verse number 18 deals with the subject of control. A term we often hear when we're dealing with someone who's trying to operate an automobile and they're drunk, they're intoxicated. We hear the term that they are under the influence. And to be drunk is to be under the influence of alcohol. It is the opposite of sober, which means to be in control. So here's the question really that we find here in verse number 18, and that is this: who is in control of your life? Who is in control? And the Bible tells us that we're not to yield that control to alcohol. We understand that when we are filled with alcohol, when we become drunk, that we are not in control anymore. We do things we wouldn't do. We say things we would never say. And we're not able to make good decisions in life when that is the case. But when we yield complete control to the Holy Spirit of God, then God can be in control of our lives. Now, your problem today may not be alcohol. Maybe your problem is your tongue. Maybe it's your temper. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's your anger. Maybe it's unforgiveness or bitterness. And on we could go. And the truth of the matter is, we can be controlled by those things just as easily as we can be controlled by alcohol. Unforgiveness and bitterness in our lives, anger, bad attitudes. And so there's a point here that we're to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to have the home that we need to have, if you're going to be the husband, sir, that you need to be, that God designed for you to be, then you must be filled with the Spirit of God under His influence, under His control. Ma'am, if you're going to be the spouse that you need to be, then you've got to be filled with the Spirit under His influence, under His control. And this deals specifically in the area of our communication. And so I want you to write some things down about communication I want to share with you this morning. And first of all, I want you to see the power of communication. Communication is very important. And someone has said that many of our failures in our marriages and oftentimes in our workplaces or in other areas of life, much of our failure is really a communication failure. There is a movie that was popularized in the 60s, and in that movie there's a classic line that has sort of made its way into the vernacular of American language, and it was the line of the warden or the sergeant when he was talking to Cool Hand Luke, and he said, "What we have here is a failure to communicate." And many of you know that line. In fact, you could finish it before I did. What we have here is a failure to communicate. And I believe what is the cause of many of our problems in our homes and in our marriages is a failure to communicate. And the more we fail at communication, the harder it becomes for us to communicate. And the less we begin to communicate, the more the problems begin to grow and they begin to mushroom. And then you've got two people who don't want to communicate with each other at all who are beginning to harbor and be controlled by these thoughts and emotions that will cause them not to love one another in the sense that they're commanded to do so and not to communicate to one another. It will allow the devil to come into their lives and communicate with them and get them communicating with the wrong people under the wrong influences. And before you know it, Satan has created a great divide in that home. And what we need to understand is that communication is important. Now, today, thanks to the increase in technology, or maybe we shouldn't be thankful for the increase in technology, we're more connected to one another than we've ever been, right? There are many ways that we can communicate. We can communicate with our words. We can communicate with our volume. Our volume communicates. Our tone communicates. Our rhythm of speech communicates. But we also communicate with our ears by listening. Listening is an art that we need to learn to master. Our eyes communicate things. Our facial expressions, our gestures, and our hands all are used to communicate. And though we have all of these forms of communication and ways to communicate, And though we can now communicate with words on a page or on a screen or with a photo or with an acronym or you know, these young people today who text one another, they use a lot of acronyms and all kinds of things that nobody can figure out what that means. But they know what it means. And now we even have emojis. You know, I used to use TY when I would get texted. I want to say thank you. Well, it's just easier for me to type in TY. But I got a stern lecture about that from my daughter, who felt I was dismissing her by putting TY. Well, now I found the little emoji of the thumbs up. Have you seen the thumbs up? I remember when people first started texting, and I thought, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. Who wants to take the time to type all that out when you can call somebody and just tell them what you think? In a good way. But guess what? I've become a certified, bona fide texter. And now I don't even have to say words. I can just put a smiley face or whatever. We were in a group text with some of my friends in ministry the other day, and I responded to some of their harassment of me with an emoji. And one of my friends texted, "Who would have ever thought that grown men would be using emojis in their conversations?" My response to him is, "Who would have ever thought that we would consider ourselves to be grown men?" But though we have all of these communication tools, we're communicating less and less. You know, there's more loneliness today and depression and anxiety than there's ever been. And so we need to learn how to communicate. As a church, we need to learn how to communicate. Communication is a big thing. And we need to understand the power of it. Now, notice what the Bible tells us here. Look with me, please, here in the context of verse number 18, that we are not to be drunk with wine, but we are to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves. That means we're talking. We're talking. There is conversation taking place in our homes. Contrary to popular opinion today, home life is not to be you in your room with your cell phone in your face. And by the way, I struggle with that just as much as the kids struggle with that. And you do too. And we have to learn that we're to communicate with each other. There is conversation that is to take place in the context of the home. And when that conversation, that communication is cut off, then misunderstandings come and troubles come and concerns. And so we need to learn to communicate. Now, notice what the Bible says. We're speaking to ourselves, verse 19, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So here we have the communication. And the first thing I want you to see here is involving communication is that we are to fill our homes with the Word of God. Bible-believing Christians ought to have Bible speaking and Bible reading and Bible conversations in their homes. But it's almost like we have, in fact, it's not almost like, it is like, we have somehow fallen into this snare that the Bible stuff is what we do on Sunday and maybe on Sunday night, and if we're really crazy, on Wednesday night. But we don't really plan for that to happen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. And then we wonder sometimes why our kids don't seem to get it. Maybe it's because we hadn't been given it in our homes and in our daily living. And by the way, it's not something that you have to get. Now, everybody sit down for 30 minutes and listen to me teach a Bible lesson. The Bible said you talk of these things in the way. The Bible says when you're at your table or when you're getting ready to go to bed, you're talking about the Lord. You're bringing in biblical truth and what God means to you in your communication, and you must fill your home with the Word of God. Let's just start somewhere. Just start somewhere. Read a proverb or two before a meal. Have prayer together. But let's speak about what God has said. Let's talk about how the Sunday school lesson spoke to us. Let's talk about our devotional life and what it is that God has said to me or to you. Sometimes when we read the Bible and we don't do it as consistently as we ought to, I'm just going to tell you that right now. We don't do it as consistently as we ought to. But when we do, a lot of times we'll have the kids at the table. I'll read something and I'll ask them to read it. And I'll say, tell me what that means to you. And that's a challenge to them. And what I'm trying to teach them is that the Word of God can speak to them and it means something. And so let's fill our homes with conversations around the Word of God. So fill your home with the Word of God. We're talking about communication here. We fill it with, you know, Fox News or CNN or whatever. We fill it with sports. We fill it with our problems. We fill it with our complaints. Let's fill our home with the Word of God. Let's begin to talk like Christians ought to be talking. Let's begin to think like Christians ought to be thinking. And that is biblically. Biblically. There is power in the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible said we are begotten by the power of the Word. It is the Word that is sufficient to save us. It is the Word that is sufficient to sanctify and transform us into the image of Christ. And we don't need less of the Bible today. We need more of the Bible than we've ever had. More and more. And may God help us to fill our homes with the Word of God. Here's another one. Fill your home with singing. Fill your home with singing. Well, I don't sing. Well, you better learn. By the way, you ought to see some of us in church sometimes. We look like we're enduring the singing, not enjoying it. We ought to be singing people. Now, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I cannot sing, but it had never stopped me. And I sing at home, and the kids look at me, you know. And I've got one of them. He's taken up the mantle of my dad. It used to irritate my dad sometimes when I would sing. And sometimes I just sung, to be honest with you, to irritate. You know, I can do that. And he's gotten the same taste of my singing as my dad. But, you know, if you're singing, that reflects there's some joy in your heart. Now, it doesn't always reflect that you're happy, but it reflects that there's joy. Happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is based on truth and knowing what we know about God and God's Word and the person of Christ. And so I can have joy in my heart in the midst of any circumstance, and I can sing, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hey, that's what I'm doing most of the time, just making a noise. And we ought to make some noise in our house that is positive. We've got too much of the wrong noise. Let's sing. He said, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know the song book of the Jew in worship is the psalms. And so he says, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's why I'm glad we have a hymnal here. I'm glad that our kids sing hymns and they can learn these hymns and they get in their heart and they never forget them. I can walk into a church that uses the red back hymnal that we used to use when I was kids, and I could pick right up with them. I could sing nearly every verse of every song because it's gotten into my heart. It's gotten into my heart. And singing these hymns and lifting up the name of Jesus, and these things get in our heart and they teach us truth. That's why they're so critically important. They teach us truths and we can recall them and we can rehearse them. And we can worship God. In our home, yes. In our home, we can worship the Lord. Singing, making melody in your heart. Then notice verse 20. Fill your home with the Word of God. Fill your home with singing. By the way, have God-honoring music in your home. That's a good thing. You know, music does create an atmosphere in your home and in your life. So make sure you've got the right stuff, not the wrong stuff. Not the world's, but stuff that will glorify and honor God. Here's another thing about our conversation at home. And we're talking here about the power of communication. Fill your home with gratitude. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to fill our home with gratitude. That's an expression of thankfulness. He said, giving thanks always for all things unto God. We are to be thankful people. It might be good for you or for your spouse or for your children if you would constantly stop telling them what you don't like about them. If you would constantly stop telling them what they're doing wrong, and why don't you every once in a while, it would be helpful to them and to you if you would find some good things that they're doing. And by the way, I'm aware, Hooks kids, that I am preaching this, all right? I'm aware. Let's have some thankfulness and some gratitude in our home. Don't go home saying, you know, we got nothing to eat in this house. Mom, when are you going to go to the store? You know, it's in moments like that when she really needs to be filled with the Spirit. Because she might think of ending your life at that moment. But you ought to be thankful that you've got a bed and you've got clothing and that they're clean. And you ought to be thankful that there is some food in the house. You know, we're very spoiled. When we say there's nothing to eat in this house, there's plenty. There's more than most of the world has. How about a little gratitude? How about a little thankfulness? Don't take one another for granted. Instead of complaining and talking about all the negatives, let's begin to talk about the positives, because communication is important. And God said you need to fill your home with my word. You need to fill your home with singing. And you need to fill your home with gratitude. Gratitude. Learn to pray together as a family. Pastor Sexton always taught us that a husband and a wife who truly want to have a growing intimacy in their marriage and a devotion to one another need to learn how to pray together. When you hear your spouse pray, you're hearing what is near and dear to their heart. You're learning more and more about them. When you hear your children pray, the same is true. And so learn to pray together. Learn to pray together. And learn to pray more. And may God help us. The words that we speak are so powerful. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And now think of that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your words can minister life to someone and encouragement to something, or it can minister death and discouragement. Death and life in the power of the tongue. James chapter 3 tells us some things about the tongue and the power of the tongue. If you have your Bible there, I want you to open it. I want you to go there with me, would you please? Just a few pages over, you can find the book of James. And let's look at it together. As James deals here with the power of the tongue. And notice he says here, verse number 3, James chapter 3 and verse number 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. And so here's what we find here in these verses. The tongue can determine the course that we take. It can set the course for your home. It can set the course for your marriage. What kind of day are you going to have? You know, your toast got burnt. It might be wise not to comment on that. Your husband didn't get the job done that you wanted done, that you'd ask him to do. And you might want to think about how you express that, because the tongue can determine the course that we take. Sometimes we get frustrated. And it's easy sometimes for us, or easier rather, for us to take our frustrations out on those we love. But we don't understand the way that affects those loved ones and how that's going to hinder their day. And so we need to be careful about what we say. It can determine the course of our day and our lives and our homes and our relationships. Notice what he says in verse 5. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Those are some strong words about the potential damage that the tongue can do. You know, the tongue can destroy the work of God if we're not careful. Now, the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. I understand that. But the tongue can do damage to the work of God, even in a church setting, and much so in a church setting. But it can also do damage in your home. It can hurt relationships. It can bring hurt and irreparable harm to your marital relationship. And so that's why the Bible says it defiles the whole body. The tongue, when it is used incorrectly, defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature. It's like a wildfire out of control, like we saw last fall in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. This wildfire that just got out of control. You see, the tongue can determine the course that we take, but the tongue can destroy the companionship that we enjoy. Your tongue. You know, some of you men with your tongue, you have done a lot of damage to your wife. A lot of damage. And we need to learn. And by the way, the ladies can do the same. And the kids can do the same, and the parents can do the same. And so we better learn that the tongue can destroy the companionship that we enjoy, the harshness, the sharpness, the anger, the vitriol that comes out of our mouths. It is something that can destroy the companionship we enjoy. Not only that, we see in verses 7 through 10, the tongue can defy the constraints that we place on it. It can defy the constraints that we place. Have you tried to control your tongue? He said, man, I shouldn't have said that. How many of you have ever said that? And then he went right back out and said it again. And so we have to learn to hold our tongue. We have to learn. And the Bible says in verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. In other words, we'll talk about how good God is, but we'll talk about how bad and what's wrong with our neighbor and our friend. And what God is saying to us, those people that you destroy with your tongue are the people who I made in my image. It's a serious thing in the sight of God when we cut up and barbecue those we love and those we know and our neighbors, and we have them for supper, so to speak. God said, it's a serious thing. These are people who are made in my image. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? And so we have to understand this thing gets out of control. That's why we have to be filled with the Spirit. Because the tongue can determine the course we take. The tongue can destroy the companionship we enjoy. And the tongue can defy the constraints that we place upon it. Now we have words of warning and admonition throughout the Scripture concerning our tongue and our words and our communication. Colossians 4 and verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. You say, well, how should I respond? I'm going to tell you how you should respond with grace, seasoned with salt. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And we cannot forget that when we speak. That lady messed up your order at Sam's, and you want to give her the business? That's not what God's called you to do. Your children dropped a dish that was precious to you, and we all have trouble when that happens, right? Always with grace, seasoned with salt. Your spouse, how am I going to answer in this situation? I mean, here he is, here she is, talking to me like that again. I've had enough of it. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Always with grace, seasoned with salt. Proverbs 16 and verse 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 31 and verse 26, speaking of the virtuous woman, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Is that true about you? If it's not, it can be. How can it be? I'm me. I can't help it. This is just my personality. I am who I am. Is that really the answer? No. The answer is I can let Jesus live in me and through me. And I can speak His words in the power of His Spirit. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer. A soft answer. There's some times when you have to collect yourself to give a soft answer, but I would caution you to make sure you do that. There are other times we just can't wait for that person to quit talking to us so we can pour out the wrath on them. I want to tell you, God's not in that. He's not in it when I do it. He's not in it when you do it. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Ephesians 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. How much room does God make for us to slip up with the tongue? I want to read that verse again, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Does that sound like God's giving us some leeway? Does that sound like the Lord and the Holy Spirit says, well, you know, that's just them. They're going to say what they're going to say. That's what we say. But that's not what God says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Man, we can speak the words of God and the words of wisdom, Spirit-filled words that are not corrupt, but they're good, and they'll help build people up and minister grace to people. That's what they need to hear. Now, our children need to hear some tough things from us. Our spouses sometimes need to hear some things from us. My wife tells me things I need to know all the time. And to be honest with you, I say all the time. That sounds like it may lead you to believe something that's not true. Not all the time, but when I need it. And often I do need it. In fact, every time she gives it, I need it. I mean, am I saying the right thing, honey? And I got to go home with her after this. Sometimes I don't want to hear what she has to say. I don't like what she has to say. At that moment, I don't want to hear her say that. Maybe I want her to take my side. Maybe I want her to say, you were right. But maybe that's not what I need to hear at that moment. And so may God help us to understand the power of communication in your home. What kind of communication are we to have? It is to be a communication that involves the Word of God. We're to have the presence of God's Word in our home. Take inventory. When's the last time you read the Bible? When's the last time you talked about a Sunday school lesson? When's the last time you talked about a message and how God spoke to you? Is the Word of God present in your home? And then you come to this place and you take an inventory and you say, you know, our home is not what it ought to be. Our marriage is not what it ought to be. And we've all been there. Then the question is, will you be the one who hears and does? Will you be the one who hears and does? So maybe you just need to say to your wife and your children, we're going to try to get the Word of God in our home. I need to say that more to mine. And we're going to have to work at it. And we're not always going to be perfect at it, but we're going to give it another shot. We've tried it before, I know, and it just kind of subsided, fallen by the wayside, but we're going to work at it again. You know, your children respect you if you talk to them that plain and that honest. They know you're not perfect. You don't have to tell them that. Fill your home with singing. Fill your home with gratitude. Find some things that you can talk about that are positive things and not just the negatives. And by the way, that's a trap that we all fall into. And so let's fill our home and understand that the tongue can determine the course of our days and our lives and our relationships. The tongue can destroy that companionship that we enjoy, and the tongue can defy the constraints that we place on it. And so we must learn to yield to the Spirit of God and begin to communicate and begin to talk. Now, we're going to talk perhaps tonight on more of this communication. We've looked at the power of communication. I want us to look at the problems with it, because there are problems in communication. And then I want us to look at the practice of it. What are some practical things that we need to do? And what does the Word of God say to us about communicating? But friends, we need to learn to communicate again in our homes. We need to communicate in our lives. And may the Lord help us to understand the right form of communication, that we would be filled with the Spirit, that we would speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, that we would give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And where, preacher, are we to do it? At home.